Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
This is CBS Island the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. Gordon, I need to understand a headline from the Jamestown Foundation under the subhead China Brief. The headline, Xi Jinping's central position in official media starts to erode. That looks like a significant development. What is the Jamestown Foundation? How to regard this, Gordon? Is it conservative? Is it speculative? Is it sensational? Good evening to you, Gordon.
Good evening, John. Jamestown is a Washington, D.C.-based think tank. It is conservative-leaning. It got its start during the Cold War, where people at Jamestown were had relationships with the U.S. government and were responsible for the care of Soviet defectors. So it goes way back. And this piece is by Willie Lamb, who is a noted China watcher, very much a person who is at the center of Chinese political developments.
We welcome Charles Burton of the Synopsis. He is in Ottawa, where the heat wave touched as well. Charles, it is no consolation, but it is information. The heat wave is in New England. It's in the whole of the Italian peninsula. It's in the south of France without a breeze. It's certainly in London. I do not have the information that it's in Beijing, but we can assume this. It is a hot early summer. Therefore, we come to this what appears to be hot headline if you take the point of view of Xi Jinping is Chinese media these last years. What is your interpretation of him stepping back? Is that a significant development, or he's just tired of being the center of attention? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I do think it's a significant development. Certainly his presence in the news, two nights ago in the news, there was no mention of him whatsoever, whereas in the past, most of the news started with four or five items on Mr. Xi himself. When he has been depicted on the news, it's been doing largely ceremonial things, you know, talking to foreign leaders, meeting with the Prime Minister of New Zealand, sending a congratulatory telegram, and sometimes items that show stock footage of him from several years ago. So what you haven't seen is what you normally see on the Chinese news is Mr. Xi chairing a meeting of senior communists with the members of the Standing Committee of the Politburo earnestly taking notes of everything he says. That has not been happening. Most of these policy-related meetings, or in fact all of these policy-related meetings since late April, have involved the Premier of the State Council, Li Qiang, and the head of the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, Wang Huning, chairing. And then about, I think, June the 13th, there was an extraordinary item where the Chinese Communist Party decided to commemorate the 120th anniversary of a senior Chinese communist, Chen Yun, who was a Leninist, who was more, he was active in the period of Deng Xiaoping, but more conservative and urging prudent restraint in economic reform. And in one sentence, Mr. Xi, reciting this speech, praised collective leadership twice, and also Mr. Chen's commitment to careful research about policy implications. And I think that really when they were talking, the positive aspects they were attributing to Mr. Chen Yun, who died in 1995, was really about Mr. Xi offering a self-criticism. And then instead of applause in the video after Mr. Xi's recitation of the speech, there was a long explication by the third-ranked member of the Standing Committee of the Politburo, Zhao Leji, where he basically, in his, I think, his capacity as the head of the Central Disciplinary Commission, was suggesting the areas in which Mr. Xi had fallen short by you know, negative example. I mean, this is quite typical in Chinese communist communication. So it appears that they may be setting the stage for Mr. Xi to step back and simply assume his lesser of his three roles, you know, his main role being general secretary of the party, and then his second role being head of the military commission, and third role being the president of China. He might be phased down to president of China. This is not without precedent. The successor to Chairman Mao, Hua Guofeng, the brilliant and courageous leader, as he was known, was eventually phased out by Deng Xiaoping, but he was not completely purged. His posts were just gradually taken away from him, but he remained on the Central Committee until his death. So we might be seeing a repetition of that pattern. The question would be, if Mr. Xi is sliding into irrelevance, is this a simple transition, or will there be a more dramatic transformation of China's governance? And one hint has been a major policy conference on the constitution of China in Mr. Xi's absence. And, you know, the party has not traditionally believed that the constitution was anything more than a statement of principles that were not required to be followed. You know, there's no notion of legal precedence in Chinese legal decisions. But if there was a return to what Mr. Xi had condemned as constitutionalism, it might give some notion that the Chinese government is preparing to become more of a responsible stakeholder in domestic and global affairs. But, you know, it's really too soon to say. But certainly Mr. Xi fading out appears to be pretty certain. There's just too much evidence of his being gradually cast aside. It's possible, as you say, that he's got failing health and they're propping him up for these ceremonial events. But my guess is it's really the failure of his domestic economic and social policies and his disastrous foreign policy that's leading to strong desire on the part of the party to get someone in who will do things differently.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, you mentioned the phrase collective leadership that Xi Jinping was required to use. That is a direct criticism of Xi Jinping's style of governance, which is one-man rule and a demand for complete obedience. We've seen collective leadership throughout PLA Daily, the main propaganda organ of the Chinese military. Again, a sign that Xi Jinping has lost control of the most powerful faction in the party, which is the People's Liberation Army. What do you think led to Xi Jinping actually being willing to talk and praise collective leadership? In other words, to publicly criticize himself. What led to that?
Well, I think that, yes, the whole speech really was about you know, the shortcomings of Mr. Xi. I don't think that he wanted to make that speech. Certainly, you know, in terms of the optics of it, when he came into the room with, I don't know, a couple of hundred senior communists and standing committee, traditionally, everyone would be standing up applauding wildly, and there would be wild applause at the end of the speech. But the video simply showed him at the rostrum reading this speech, and everybody, you could see that all the members of the audience had a copy of the speech, which had been prepared in advance. And then at the end of the speech, there was no applause for Mr. Xi, and the video cuts to the head of the Central Disciplinary Commission, you know, providing some exegesis on this speech. So I think that Mr. Xi is being compelled to play these roles to avoid a more serious consequences for himself and his family. So he's basically trying to salvage his position by following instructions very carefully. And so I expect, well, I mean, now that we've got entire newscasts that don't have Mr. Xi in them at all, and he's not going to the BRICS, and you know, he's not doing anything that makes him out to be a leader, and there's no reference to his glorified titles of, say, great helmsman and architect of China's socialism with Chinese characteristics, that he is in a very challenged position. And whether his faction can turn this around remains to be seen. And also, in terms of collective leadership, you know, there have been so many elements within the Chinese Communist Party and military who have been purged over Mr. Xi's leadership. And those people, are still there and clearly unhappy about their being put into the shadows and unable to, say, engage in activities that would enrich their families, that eventually, you know, things become impossible for Mr. Xi if he's not seen as performing in the interests of maintaining harmony and prosperity in society, which is really the expectation of the role of a Chinese Communist Party leader, sort of an emperor-like figure. So I think he overplayed his hand. The fact that he has no termination date on his date of office, which, you know, the stress on constitutionalism would have suggested that you should have a fixed term in office, suggests that people are now having to get rid of him through these kind of irregular means rather than waiting until his term is up and then acting. So, you know, we are looking at a situation of a country that has no mechanism for the removal of Mr. Xi, trying to do it in a way which would be the least destructive to the overall power of the Chinese Communist Party. In other words, if he was purged and disappeared and was denounced loudly, that would impact the entire system. So this way of doing it gradually, carefully, with Mr. Xi still present in some kind of way, and eventually the characterization of him easing down and perhaps eventually him saying that he wants to reduce his duties due to age allows them to maintain the integrity of the system for now. But once Mr. Xi is gone, all bets are off in terms of China's future. There is no obvious successor to Mr. Xi. So you will see a highly weakened regime seeking some kind of revanching.
Charles Burton of Synopsis, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save